Across America, hate crime is rising. That's true for New York State, New York City, and the entire country. But in Suffolk County, it's not. Suffolk actually reported a new low in 2020. That makes Suffolk unusual, or wrong, according to some. For WNYC's Race and Justice Unit, Charles Lane reports.
Kyren Taylor is an apprentice electrician. He says he came to work one day in May, and when he walked into the tool room, there, hanging on the wall next to his tools, was a noose. He recorded a video of it.
I don't think this has anything to do with electric. It's got me hot, to be honest.
Taylor is 23. He was the only African-American working for his company.
From my past education of learning what a noose means and what a noose is used for, I knew that it was targeted at me and that I was in a life or death situation.
The Suffolk County Police's hate crimes unit was called in, but even though the detective investigating the case checked in on Taylor every day, he wouldn't call what happened a hate crime. As of last Friday, the department still hasn't yet declared it a crime. The district attorney's office is still investigating. For Taylor, calling it a crime makes a difference.
Maybe it would bring more attention and create change, not just on this one incident.
In Suffolk, what gets classified as a hate crime as opposed to an incident has come under increased scrutiny because while everywhere else in the country hate crimes are rising or remaining flat, in Suffolk they are dropping precipitously. Civil rights lawyer Frederick Brewington represents Taylor.
I'm not convinced that the district attorney's office nor the county of Suffolk has any interest in fully addressing issues of hate past kind of surface discussions about this.
In 2014, Suffolk classified 87 cases as hate crimes. Each year since, that number has fallen. Last year, it reached its lowest level to date, 6. That's less than a tenth of the number of hate crimes in just 5 years. Meanwhile, across the nation and state, hate crimes have increased more than 20%. Nassau hate crimes remain roughly unchanged, and in Westchester, they're up 60%. Only in Suffolk have the numbers been going down. Yet, Suffolk's apparent decline in hate crimes comes as the number of Suffolk County residents reporting alleged hate crimes continues to rise. Last year, almost double the number of cases were reported to investigators compared to 5 years ago. That's double the number of reports, a tenth of the number of crimes. Suffolk police declined interview requests and said that their method of investigating has remained the same. Hate crimes detective James Mosby said that the decrease is because of changing definitions within the hate crimes unit.
Various bosses may classify, you know, once the stats are put before them, they may classify differently.
He was speaking before the Anti-Bias Task Force, a citizens group in Suffolk County that works to combat hate and violence. And he says there's another factor in classifying hate crimes, whether or not prosecutors can secure convictions.
Because we're talking about hate crimes, we're talking about enhanced penalties, we're talking about going to grand jury, and beyond a reasonable doubt, if it doesn't fit that criteria, then it's going to be dismissed.
Police officials said hate crimes classifications are based on the facts of a given case. Under New York penal law, symbols of hate, such as burning crosses, swastikas, and nooses, are evidence of the intent to commit a hateful act. To elevate a charge to a hate crime, prosecutors have to prove that the defendant left the symbol specifically because of another person's race, religion, gender, disability, or other identity. Anti-bias groups on Long Island say police and the district attorney are gaming their stats so that they look good. Helen Boxwell is a member of the Anti-Bias Task Force.
The practice of the unit is to not to classify something if they think it can't win, they can't win the case. And that is just, that is cooking the books. That is intentionally refusing to classify something as a hate crime when it should be.
In the end, anti-bias groups care most about knowing where the hate is so they can target their education campaigns.
And knowing the statistics tells you the reality of the world that you live in. If you pretend something doesn't exist, then all of a sudden you're going to get surprised. If you know, then you can do something. If you don't know, you won't do anything.
Leslie Anderson is the Executive Assistant District Attorney for the Suffolk County District Attorney's Office. She's in charge of a special group of ADAs focused on hate crimes. She says police make the decision on what to charge, but
we were concerned that maybe some of these crimes were falling through the cracks and that we needed a team of prosecutors to work with the police so that the case is taken from the point of arrest or the point of investigation through the point of prosecution.
She refutes the idea that the office is cooking the books.
That's not something that our DA would subscribe to or would allow us to subscribe to. We would take the case, we would do our best to make it, but if it's not successful, then unfortunately it's not successful. But that certainly wouldn't be a bar for us accepting the charges.
Anderson says she has no explanation for why Suffolk is one of the only major jurisdictions in the country where hate crimes are falling. But she does acknowledge how hard it is to convict with New York's current hate crime statute. She has been speaking with Democratic Assemblywoman Kimberly Jean-Pierre of Lindenhurst about changing the law to make it easier to prove motive.
If we could use the language used during the attack or the actions during the attack as a basis for prosecuting a hate crime rather than having to get into the person's mind, I think we'd be much more successful as prosecutors in New York.
Jean-Pierre's goal is to bring new legislation next session, adding amendments to the current hate crime statute in hopes of closing what she calls loopholes or gaps in the law.
WSHU's Charles Lane reported this story for our Race and Justice Unit. For more on the story, visit Gothamist.com.